Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are mighty to save. That when we come to you, all is forgiven. We thank you for everything you bless us with. Lord, let us lift up our blessings to you now. In the silence of our prayers, in those that are spoken out loud. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are able to glorify your name, that we have that blessed assurance of your love, that you are with us every second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, and that we know the mercies that you give us. Even in our time of sin, you loved us. Even when we didn't know you, you knew us. So, Lord, we thank you. Hear our prayers, Lord. And now I'm going to hand over to Carol. And can we just pray for Carol as she brings her word to us? Heavenly Father, may you bless Carol. May you, her words be your words. May her words touch each and every one of us here. May her words speak into our hearts, our minds, and may we be open to hear and receive them. Amen.
So, it's my turn to preach this morning. I'm using the term preach very loosely because I'm afraid if anyone's hoping for a deep theological sermon, you're going to be a bit disappointed. I'm not speaking on a specific passage, but there will be references to scripture, obviously. But it's more of a reflection, really. So it's one that I hope is worth sharing. It won't be very long. I'm sure we're all aware that there's a very important football match going on at the minute. Please turn phones off. Very sure. I know people are very, very keen to watch it. So maybe we'll be getting home a bit earlier. I don't know. But anyway, we'll still be serving refreshments at the end of the service. So please do stay as long as you like. Let me just pray before I start, please. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to meet with you and with each other in freedom and safety. May we all leave this morning feeling blessed by you in whatever way you choose. Amen. So, I wonder if anyone here has ever needed to be rescued, you know, like in the physical sense when you're in a sort of bit of danger. I remember many years ago when me and Nev were young and silly. Still silly, but not so young now. We decided with a couple of friends that we'd like to take a rowing boat out of Bridlington Harbour to try and catch some mackerel. What we didn't realise, the tide was going out and we were going with it. We weren't in any real danger because we were close to shore, but it was hard work rowing. And the boat came out to rescue us. But we weren't the only ones, so it's something that obviously happened on a regular basis and they were prepared. But we were very glad to see them. And talking of the sea and being rescued, the Royal National Lifeboat Institution immediately comes to mind. I don't think there's anyone here that won't have heard of that. They're on call 24/7, responding to distress calls, often in appalling weather, very challenging situations, and sometimes life-threatening. And before the RNLI was established, there's a lady called Grace Darling, who was perhaps known to many of us, a well-known heroine who was born in 1815 and was the daughter of a lighthouse keeper at Bamber in Northumberland. Anyone that's been to Northumberland will know what a treacherous coast. It is absolutely beautiful, but very dangerous. And on the 7th of September 1838, she risked her life as she helped her father to rescue survivors of a wrecked steamship. Then there is a mountain rescue, again on call 24/7, and again working in very challenging circumstances. Can you see where this is going? So Some more examples. In 1938-39, the Kinder Transport was an organised rescue effort of children from Nazi-controlled territories. 10,000 children arrived in the UK, rescued from almost certain death. And then there's Oskar Schindler, a German industrialist who was credited with saving the lives of 1,200 Jews by employing them in his munitions factory and helping them to escape at great personal financial cost. And there are many more examples of people and organisations of those in need, who rescue those in need. Perhaps one of the most recent that was in the news quite a lot was the Chilean mine rescue in October 2010. Can you believe it's all that long ago? They were trapped underground for 69 days when the mine collapsed. Can you imagine how awful that must have been? One of the miners was a man named Jose Enrique, who had been a Christian for 30 years, and he experienced God's provision during the 69 days of waiting and praying for rescue. He made a great impression on his fellow miners as he led them in prayer and praise. And when they were rescued, they had amazing stories to tell. Jose Enrique has since written a book about his experience and travelled the world talking about this miracle and the saving power of Christ, always insisting that the accident was meant to bring glory to God. God was with them in the middle of crisis. I think that's another sermon for another day. I don't think there's much doubt that in most cases, all those rescued are very thankful for their rescuers. But there are many verses in the Bible that talk of rescue. Psalm 37 tells us that the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. And in Psalm 71, we have a plea to be rescued. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Throughout Scripture, of course, we also read of times when God has rescued his people. And I think the story of Noah is a very, very famous one that I should think everybody has heard of at some point. It's very popular with the little ones, I think, isn't it? That's found in Genesis chapter 6 and 7. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we read that the world was in a very bad way. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was aggrieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth. He'd had enough, obviously. But Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord, and God told him to build an ark because he was going to send a great flood. He gave him very specific instructions. All Noah had to do was trust and obey, which he did, in spite of probably not really understanding what he was doing, and most likely being ridiculed by those around him. And because of this, he and his family were rescued from death by drowning. And probably the most famous rescue is the Exodus from Egypt when God rescued his people. There's been lots of blockbuster films about that over the years, haven't there? Charlton Heston springs to mind. In Exodus chapter 6, we read how God promised to deliver, again, rescue his people from slavery. They had been slaves for 430 years. That's a long time, isn't it? He gave the pharaohs lots of chances to free his people, but they wouldn't listen. So he sent someone to get them out of the terrible situation they were in. And that, of course, was Moses. Now, Moses was very reluctant to take on this job. He didn't think it was up to it. Well, it was actually quite a big ask, wasn't it? But God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, doesn't he? And he still does this today. Uses people, ordinary people. A few years ago, I'd been shopping in a supermarket, and when I got home, I realised my handbag was missing. Now, I think all you ladies will appreciate how horrified I was. We carry our lives around in our handbags, don't we? I'd left it hanging on the trolley as I'd been shopping, and I was in panic. What should I do? Anyway, first, let's cancel the cards. So I picked up the phone, and this was in the days before mobiles, so you can guess it's quite a while ago. I thought, I'll ring the bank and cancel the cards. But as I picked the receiver up, I heard a message from the supermarket saying that my handbag had been handed in. The chances of that happening were really quite small, but it was such a relief. And to cut a long story short, just as I was driving out of the car park, a lady who turned out to be a Christian had found my handbag and handed it in. She was doing this as I was driving out of the car park, I found out later. I was being rescued and I didn't even realise it. That's how amazing our God is. He's there one step in front of us all the time. And the verse in the hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, really has special meaning to me now. The verse that goes, Father, like he tends and spares us, well our feeble frame he knows. In his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Not quite being attacked by an army or anything, is it? But it's still a time when I needed a rescue and he was there. Then there's Jesus, of course, the ultimate rescuer. Not in the physical sense, of course, but spiritually. Rescues us from the forces of evil, Satan, the devil, whatever you like to call him. And Satan hates this, and he'll do everything he can to keep us away from God. We should never underestimate the power of Satan. Very clever, very cunning, and won't give up. But the power of Jesus is so much greater because he's overcome the world. In Colossians 1:13, Paul writes, For he, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, we read, There is only one God, and Christ Jesus is the only one who can bring us to God. Jesus gave himself to rescue all of us. He is our rescuer, our deliverer. Our salvation is found in his sacrifice, and we are saved by his amazing grace. He died so that we are no longer bound by sin, shame, guilt, or the fear of death. And all we have to do is to accept him into our lives. Simple. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our weaknesses and the things we struggle with on a daily basis, physically, mentally, spiritually, every aspect of our lives. Nothing is too big or too small for you. Help us to remember that you are always there to rescue us whenever we need you. Amen. And the final word from King David in Psalm 40. I patiently waited, Lord, for you to hear my prayer. You listened and pulled me from a lonely pit full of mire and mud. You let me stand on a rock with my feet firm, and you gave me a new song, a song of praise to you. Amen.
And so now we come to the Lord's table to take part
in a very simple but very profound act of worship, Holy Communion. All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are invited to join to remember what the Lord did once and for all to bring us back to our Father God. It's technically a meal in as much as there's food and drink, but definitely no ordinary meal, as the bread and wine are symbols of the Lord's body and blood. David spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Just as food and drink are essential to our physical well-being, the bread and wine of the sacrament are essential to our spiritual well-being. The bread represents Christ's body to make us whole. The wine, or juice as it is, represents Christ's blood given as payment for our sins. Communion is a personal remembrance. The focus is entirely on Jesus. He told us to do this in remembrance of me. The taking of communion is also a good time to examine ourselves and to test our motives and attitudes, to address unconfessed sin and come before the Lord in the right frame of mind, ready to receive all the grace, blessings, and love he's offering to us. Father God, we come to you just as we are, with all sorts of issues, problems, fears, anxieties. We're sorry for the things that we've done that we shouldn't have, and for good things we should have done but haven't. We know that we can't come anywhere near to being as good as you, but please help us to try our very best. And please forgive us when we get things wrong. In Jesus' name, amen. The bread and the wine, which is blackcurrant juice, will be served individually. My two lovely helpers will come down to the front, please. Please eat the bread as you receive it, but save the juice so that we can all drink together as unity in Christ. If anyone would rather not take part, that's fine. Just let the elements pass. And if anyone would like prayer, just come to the front after the service and someone will come and join you. Jesus took the bread in his hands, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this and remember me." Then he took a cup of wine in his hand and said, "This is my blood, and with it, God makes his new agreement with you. Drink this and remember me." Let's drink together and remember the Lord's amazing sacrifice and his amazing grace towards us, and be thankful. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being invited to your table. Thank you that you called us. We came to you forever, your beloved children. Thank you that we are free to worship you without fear of persecution or even death. We think of those who daily risk their lives to follow you. We pray for those whose lives have been devastated by extreme weather, terrible floods, raging fires, homes destroyed, lives lost. Father God, we pray that you will be in the centre of all this chaos. Thank you for those who are there to help when these catastrophes arise. Please keep them safe as they work in very dangerous conditions for the good of others. We pray for countries where there is conflict, wars, unrest, oppression. We pray for world leaders. Please give them wisdom, integrity, compassion as they make decisions for the countries that they lead. We pray for our community, for those who may be struggling with all sorts of issues, loneliness, financial difficulties, mental illness. We pray for the children who are on holiday from school. Please keep them safe. And we pray for our church family here at Swellness Baptist Church, a little group, but very much part of the wider church. We pray for those who live alone, those who are not very well, those who are burdened with worry and anxiety for themselves or someone they love. Please prompt us, Lord, to get in touch if someone needs help. Thank you for listening to these prayers, Lord. And may they be answered according to your will. Amen.
So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are rescued. As Carol told us, we are rescued through you, through your sacrifice, through your pain, through nothing that we do. but you have rescued us for a job. However young, however old, you have a work still in us to do. So Heavenly Father, let us do that work. Enable us, empower us, give us the words to say, give us the love to give and the compassion to be able to reach out to this community and further with your love. Amen. Amen. So let's say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen.